Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is, we're already on the other side of the week, Dream Theme Thursday. It is September 7th, 2017. We're already 7 days into the month. Continue our prayers for everybody dealing with the hurricanes, with the fires. This, you know, at times for a younger kid, and younger, I'm meaning I'm 55, so younger to me is 25. And, you know, they're saying, wow, all these things are happening at one time and all these disasters and all these people. And I remember when I was little and there were a lot of tornadoes or flooding even at that time. And I remember my mom saying, look, these are signs from the Bible and this is happening and this is happening and this is happening. And, you know, the kids have different words to use now, like apocalypse and, you know, this is happening. And I had to tell, you know, them yesterday that it's a sign of just every single time where we see these natural things. And there's a beauty to knowing that God is bigger than life, that these things aren't meant to hurt us, but they will help us. They'll bring us together. They'll take us out of the crazy stuff that we do to each other and feel completely fine with doing. And it's okay. It's scary and nobody wants to be there. And, you know, I had to bring that home to, you know, what if you went home and you didn't have a home to go to tonight? And what does that feel like? And we have to help each other. And this is a time for you to do that if you can find a way to do that, even if it's just sending something. I know in California they have all these stations just to send food and water because they're charging people astronomical costs for a case of water or for gasoline, which we can't send, but clothing or diapers or anything that, you know, can help people that they use daily. So that is one way of helping, probably the one way that any of us can help and still make a difference for them without being able to leave our jobs or go or have enough money to do so. These things don't take that much. It's, you know, every little bit goes somewhere, probably even more than money, because the money isn't going directly to the people. It's going to organizations, and they have to pay everybody, and that works too. That's one way to do it if someone can on the bigger scale, but on the smaller scale, I think sending things will help most. So let's hope, you know, we do our best and bring out our best to help people who need it at this time. So today we have Dream Theme Thursday. And I did get a response from Maria, whose dream I read last week, who saw herself in her dream, but it was like two of them. And she said, good morning, Nadia. Thank you for reading my dream last Thursday about meeting myself in the dream. I don't know yet what could be entering my life, but the feeling has always been there, especially since I was around 13 years old and one morning woke up, opened my eyes, and on the air floating by the feet of my bed. By the feet of my bed were two faces, white smoke-like, before I could react and disappeared, and instantly one was by my left ear, then told me a message, and at the end reminded me not to forget about it. Remember, but as soon as he did disappear, I forgot the message. After you read my dream, the incident revived in me. I remember I couldn't move, but I did open my eyes. It happened in seconds. I just wanted to share this with you. Thank you again for your time. Lots of love, Maria. So these dreams, you know, it's amazing. I do this thing, and, you know, I can say a lot, and at times I know a lot. And for any given moment, it will be that truth. If somebody needs an answer for something, and sometimes people demand answers, and I can't answer, but if in that day your circumstances were right for you, I can answer that. And I know, or like somebody who wants to get married, and I'm like, oh, you know, that's great, but, you know, make sure you're sure, because I'm not concerned about the other person. I'm concerned about, you know, how you feel. Why are you getting married, and why is that important? Or different aspects of what people think they need. And if they show me signs and work hard to be normal and they need something, and they know it, and they come to me, I'm learning not to answer those kinds of questions because I don't know what normal is to them or who they are outside of when they're talking to me. But dreams tell us a lot, and they always will. And when we have common dreams, and that's something I wanted to talk about today, because I get a lot of inboxes from people who don't want their dreams read but want me to do it privately in one way or another. So what I wanted to do today was that just to give you some common guidelines in dreams when you have dreams, because there's certain common dreams that we all have that aren't specific with the exact people or the exact situation that we're going through at the time. And they're about every night we dream for about 90 minutes to 2 hours or more in a night. Most of the time it's a series of dreams. They're usually very straightforward, but you don't realize it. It could be, you know, a long-lost friend reappearing, and you're like, wow, I haven't even thought of them. What brought them to my dream? Or, you know, you're looking at a beach, or you almost win the lottery, or something like that, like these big dreams that you just get, you know, well, I need to buy a lottery ticket or something like that. But they don't always tell a simple story. They just don't. They're fascinating in how crazy they can be, but that's also how we remember them. It's just that we don't know how to break them down. But they are a universal language in so many ways, and they have these elaborate images that, you know, are like out of emotional concepts instead of concepts that you know or you see or that you can feel in touch during the day. It's like, you know, your mind just lost all its barriers and you're flying and colors are coming out of nowhere and people you don't know and then you realize you did know, or people you do know, but they don't look the way they look, but you know it's that person. All of those things are part of things that already exist. Something like a smile. We know that a smile means somebody's happy. Right? We just know that, and it's a generally accepted meaning. People don't usually smile when they're not happy. If someone can smile when they're not happy and turn around and be mad in 2 seconds, there's, you know, now you know, well, oh, wait, they just looked happy. What just happened? And it will confuse you. But for the most part, when people smile, they're happy. So there isn't a definite symbol or meaning in images in our dreams. There isn't like a definite, oh, you dream this, it means that. It's everything that comes together will give you a great, imprint of where your mind is right now. And some of the most common dreams that like we wake up from are usually they have a lot of anxiety in them, which is why it makes it easier for us to remember them, because the anxiety starts happening physically to our body and it causes us to wake up. And they're like, oh, I'm so glad it was just a dream, you know, and that's how we feel. But one of the most common dreams, it's like the number one most common dream, is when you're getting chased in your dream. And the biggest question is, you know, not the fear of actually being chased by somebody, but really, what are you running away from? What are you running away from? It could be a big challenge. It could be facing yourself. It could be the fact that you might blame other people for things and you don't take responsibility. You're running away from accountability. Sometimes you're actually running away, you're done with a job. It's not that you don't like the job, but you feel like you've learned everything you could learn there, and maybe you need to switch jobs. Some people, they want to move out of their house. It's too small. Their family's growing, and they're feeling trapped, and they're running away. But chase dreams, they help you to understand, you know, that you may not be addressing something in your waking life that actually needs attention, because there's no other reason to run away other than something that actually needs attention. The other most common dream, the second one that is the most common with people, is water. We dream of water, like endless water. And water frequently will just represent like our unconscious mind, our emotions and our unconscious mind, the part that's quiet during the day, gets put down during the day, doesn't get talked to during the day. And the quality of the water actually is what provides you meaning. It's either clear or cloudy. It's calm or turbulent. It's often, you know, it gives you these insights into how effective you are managing your emotions. So if you're in like clear blue water and you're swimming, or you see the water and you could see through the water and you could see the fish, that's why we love clear water. It's not, you know, like anyone wants to swim in cloudy water, but that's why we love it, because we can see everything. And it's so beautiful to see. So there's a lot of self-acceptance when you see clear water. If it's cloudy or it's turbulent and it's all over the place and the waves are coming up and everything's crazy, that's a great reflection to you of how you feel you are managing your emotional state, how you feel emotionally. So those are just little things to just pay attention to, because if you're listening and you're too shy to send in a dream, just know that when you see these things, there is a meaning behind them, and maybe you can kind of know these things forever once you know them. There's also vehicles. When you dream of an airplane, a car, a train, a ship, all the vehicles in your dream, they reflect what direction you feel that your life is taking. Where is your life going? How much control you think you have over the path ahead of yourself? Because vehicles, when you're dreaming of a car or a plane, those things are transition, and they help you envision getting to your destination. And they actually give you the power to feel like you can get where you want to go. So when you're dreaming of those things, it's telling you you have the fuel, you have the vehicle, all you have to do now is do it. And it helps highlight the obstacles that you think you're facing or need to work through. Like, let's say it won't start. Or let's say you had a near miss in the sky when you were in a plane. But different ways to look at it and to pay attention to the obstacles as to why you are holding back that power, why you aren't flying, why you aren't driving, what happened to the horse on the carriage, you couldn't whip it hard enough. What was it that you feel is also stopping you by what happens to that vehicle in your dream? If it just takes off and everything's fine, you are way past ready to do what it is you think you want to do. If there's engine trouble, if you run out of gas, whatever it is in there with this vehicle, you have to stop, reassess, and ask yourself why this obstacle, or what you can do to face this obstacle in your dream. So that's when you dream of moving vehicles, things we've created that you can move through. Believe it or not, the first common dream, the second common dream, the third common dream, most common dreams, didn't involve other people. That doesn't even hit until number four. The fourth most common dream is people. Seeing other people in your dreams. And what the other people represent to you is different aspects of you. So if you see a certain friend or someone you haven't seen in a long time, there's a part of you that you feel you need to revisit. Sometimes we'll specifically see a grandmother or somebody who passed away. They're visiting you. But most of the time, it's parts of you you need to revisit. And when you do see, you know, a past loved one in your dreams, they're coming to tell you something. And it's, believe it or not that easy for them to come back. I mean, I know when you see mediums and they have to call people back and you know, try to focus and bring them in and all of that. But normally, That's not that easy of a thing to do, to break through this energy to get to us. But when we're dreaming, because we're already between here and home, they can come to us much easier. And that's why most of the time we will see other people in our dreams that have passed, as opposed to them just showing up in front of your face while you're walking. You know, even though that's probably possible, but in some way, but you will see them in your dreams most of the time. And the people in your dreams, they relate to characteristics that need to be developed in you. Whether they were very shy, whether they were very quiet, whether they kind of were off the beaten path, whether they, you know, were had any kind of illness in their lives, mental or physical, whatever it is, they're coming to you to tell you these characteristics need to be developed in your life. Specific people directly relate to existing relationships or just even inner stuff inside of you that needs to be worked through. If it's like somebody specific, your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, a coworker, someone you went to school with 20 years ago and haven't seen or heard from since, and then you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I want to look up that person. And, you know, it's so weird. That happened to me before and I couldn't find the person. And then I was wondering if they ever really existed. I thought, like, who's not on Facebook? But there's a lot of people that aren't. Not many, but a lot enough for, you know, you to not find them. Just no existence at all on that medium. They've made a conscious choice to do that. Can't find them. But when you're dreaming of a lover or somebody that you want to love or somebody that you have loved in particular, you have a particular dream like that, that's usually an aspect of yourself that you yourself feel detached from, believe it or not. Because a lot of times when we attach to people, we're trying to get something that we feel is missing and we get it through them. I've had people tell me that they wanted to be with me because I was everything they weren't. And to them, that was a reason. And at the time, I was too young to understand what any of that meant. But a lot of times, there's some people who know enough to know. They know themselves so well. They know what they're capable of and what they're not. They're very matter of fact about it. And they just proceed as usual. And then when they find a person or somebody who isn't that person, you know, isn't them, they say, that's my match. They have everything I don't. And I can offer them everything they don't. And they truly look at it as a perfect match because they don't want to feel detached from themselves. So when you're dreaming of a lover, future, present, past, it's just another aspect of yourself that you actually feel you are not attached to. So interesting. Another common dream, the fifth most common dream, is going back to school or being in a classroom. You're either going back, you're done, and you're revisiting the whole idea of school again, or you are actually in a classroom. And it's a common situation for people in dreams to find themselves in a classroom or in a school. Then that's usually when they are confronted with a test that they don't feel they are prepared to take in their lives. The lesson or the test you face inside the school or the classroom is frequently, most commonly, one that we need to learn from our past. Going back to school, going back to our past, what have we done before? One of the reasons these dreams are often told by other people, they tell you, oh my God, I was back in school last night in my dream. I don't know what I was doing there. God, you'd think you'd finished. Once you're done, you're done. And they're usually way after you're done. But there's a lesson or a test in your life that you need to face in some way. One that we can learn from our past. Just going back, revisiting, paying attention to why you're back there again. What just happened in your life? What are you not facing because of what you can't get over from that time? And schools are also, you know, most of the time, believe it or not, people remember, you know, the more traumatic events of school and the funniest parts of school, and then a lot of it is just forgotten. But the traumatic parts were kids you might not have gotten along with, or you wanted to have more friends, or you had friends that weren't that, you know, I want to say good to you, or in some way or another. We tend to remember that and we hold on to it, and we think that other people should treat us that way because that's how we were treated when we were a kid. So we accept a wider range of treatment from other people. But these are very, very good, like I want to say, litmus tests in your mind to say, hey, you know what? I need to go back and learn certain lessons. Even if you just work that lesson through your mind, like certain people, and you find out now who these people are, it gives you objectivity. I think that's one of the most productive things Facebook can offer us, is the people that we had certain thoughts, feelings about, or they may have hurt our feelings and we kept that for a long time, or they told us something about ourselves that, you know, they said in their own anger and then we kept it, they forgot they said it. Look at their lives now. It'll help you realize that you've grown too, and that you guys were just silly kids and they, you know, turned out to be nice people, or, you know, whatever they turned out to be. And you have a chance to revisit that and heal it. And I really believe in self-healing. When we lash out at other people and blame other people for everything we're doing, we'll never heal because they can't heal us. They have no idea what they've done just by existing. And so they heal you only when they know. And they can say they're sorry, and you can accept that. Or you can say you're sorry, and they can accept that. But there's the chances of them knowing, or you contacting them and telling them, oh, do you remember when we were in fifth grade and this and that happened? And, you know, you start going into this whole thing. They're like, oh, vaguely. God, I don't remember that. I don't know why I can't remember it. And go back and revisit just in your mind. You can do it, and it helps you so much because then it frees you of remembering that memory as a reason why you're not worth doing something you don't want to do or you do want to do and you can't do it. So that's a definite go to your past. Oh, this dream, I've had this dream. Have you ever had a dream that you couldn't run in? You needed to run away from a situation, but your body wouldn't move, and you couldn't. It was like trying to run in slow motion, and in your dream, it took all your energy to even move your body, but it was almost like you were paralyzed. That paralysis that you feel is actually the body, because when we sleep and we're dreaming, we are in a form of paralysis in a way. How many people could you not wake up easily? You could make all the noise you want to make around them and they're not moving. It's when we're in our dreams and we feel prevented from physically performing or doing certain things, the actions that are happening in our dream, and we can't react, we can't run away. Usually the dreams about paralysis, They represent that overlap between your dream state and your waking stage of sleep. So sometimes you will have those dreams that give you, like, I want to say that feeling that you're stuck. You just, there's nothing. You can't run away for your life. And sometimes people wake up in this time because they're scared to death that they can't get themselves out of a hard situation. And when they feel that, that's actually when they really are coming out of that REM stage, that stage where you're dreaming deeply and you're in this sleep and you're waking up. And it's exactly what your actual body is going through. It's going from that deep sleep state. I know that's not the deepest sleep when you're dreaming, but you're in that very nourishing state of your sleeping, that REM stage, and then you go from that to actually waking up. And that's why a lot of people will wake up when they're being chased and they can't run, when they're trying to get out of a situation, let's say a house is burning in their dream or something like that, and they're paralyzed, they can't run, but then all of a sudden they actually wake up and realize that they don't have to run, that was a dream. That's where we go between the two, because when you dream about that paralysis, it can also indicate another thing, and that's that you feel that you lack control in your waking life. And that's why you'll remember, because you're going from one to the other. And normally we just easily go from one to the other. We go from our dream state to our waking state. And then if somebody drops something, we may wake up at that time where maybe when we were dreaming or we were in the REM stage, we didn't. We just didn't wake up. And we say, gosh, you know, you could sleep through an earthquake. Well, at times you can. But other times you can't. So that lack of control is when you will remember that stage and it will wake you up, that you can't move. Because now when you can't move, what happens? You believe you don't have control of your own life. It's absolutely crazy, but it's how it works. It's so cool. The dreams of death, those dreams, they are often perceived as like the most negative thing that you could have, because our biggest fear, almost all advertising, goes back to our fear of dying and wanting to be happy while we're here and getting what we want and all of that. So when we dream of death, we're like, oh my God, I dreamed I died. It's very rarely that you died, because you actually see yourself die, so you can't be dead. But you dream somebody else died. And I know my mom would always say, oh, you just gave that person life. That was a great dream. So I never really looked at death as being scary, but the reason I'd go to her is because it did scare me. But then after a while I realized, okay, and I stopped going to her with, oh my God, now I dreamed. But it's more directly related to dramatic change happening for the dreamer. Because what's happening is, one thing has to end, one thing has to go away, one thing has to die for you to ever make room for anything new as well. So those are like the win-win dreams. You know, they get longer, like longer life, or, you know, they get more life, and you have a sign or a symbol in your dream that tells you, hey, you know what, you're holding on to dead weight, let it go, and you can accept something new now. And you don't realize as we get older how little new we accept. We might accept a new car. We all know how to do that, a new house, a new job, another member to our family, you know, having a child, that kind of thing. We can all accept because we expect to accept that. But sometimes the personal changes, those are harder to do. They're just harder to do. We don't expect to accept change because we don't usually know it's coming. And then when it does, we're shocked by it and we adjust as opposed to accept. And sometimes we complain the whole way about the change. But it's okay. Sometimes the changes are, you know, getting off medication or getting on medication. Sometimes they're moving to another state for a job. Sometimes they're, you know, changing the way you eat. Sometimes it's adding exercise. Sometimes it's making a new friend, because we don't make new friends that frequently as we get older. It might not be huge things, but it is a dramatic change for you in some way. And it's making for that addition Okay, you guys, it's already over. I can't believe it. I will see you tomorrow. I love you so very much. Tomorrow's Question Friday.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Kalil.